The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday morning. Wanted to read to you from Luke chapter 10, one of my favorite little stories in the gospel account of Luke. It says in Luke 10:38, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Mary chose to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word. Well, my guest this morning is Dr. O.S. Hawkins. Dr. O.S. Hawkins is Chancellor and Senior Professor of Pastoral Ministry of Evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He is President Emeritus of Guidestone Financial Resources, the largest Christian screened mutual fund in the world, which supports 250,000 church workers and Christian university staff with assets exceeding $20 billion. He served there as president and CEO from 1997 to 2022, and he has authored over 50 books, including the best-selling Code series, which has sold more than 2 million copies. That's a lot, O.S., and he gives all the proceeds to Mission Dignity, which helps pastors, retired pastors who don't have very much. It helps them to make it. It helps their widows. And it's just a great organization. And so Dr. Hawkins has a brand new book out called Just Jesus, a 365 daily devotional that will be a blessing to many. Dr. Hawkins, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always great being with you and all your listeners, and thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you so much. You are a prolific writer, O.S., with over 50 books, and I've written some books. Writing a book is not an easy task. Tell us about the process you go through when you write a code book, or now this new one, Just Jesus, a 365-day devotional.
You know, Jeff, the process for me is started years ago in my first church, way back in 1972, First Baptist Church, Hobart. And I set out I determined that every sermon I preached, I would keep a full manuscript of it in my files, even though I didn't take it into the pulpit. I'd keep a full manuscript footnoted where I got information, where I didn't, and stuff. And I disciplined myself that way throughout all my ministry, pastoral ministry in Oklahoma, that I'm down at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale for 15 years at First Baptist Dallas for those years. And so right now in my files, I have over 4,000 completely manuscript messages like that. So they serve as a great research source for me when I go back. For example, mm-hmm. when I wrote the Nehemiah Code, it's never too late for a new beginning. Well, I'd preached through Nehemiah. I had a lot of notes and outlines there and went back and used those as primary source in my writing of that book. Same with the Daniel Code, same with all of them. You know, we started out with the Joshua Code in this mm-hmm. series, several years ago, taken from Joshua, where the Bible says in chapter 1, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night in order to do all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way successful." And, you know, I saw we'd have new converts, we'd give them a Bible, ask them to start reading the Bible. If they started in Genesis, by the time they got to Leviticus, they got completely bogged down. And if they started in the New Testament, in Matthew, in chapter 1, they're immediately introduced to over two dozen names they can't pronounce. And so I decided I picked 52 verses in the Bible every believer should know. Mm-hmm. And if you know those 52 verses, then you'll know the whole theme of the Bible. And it became the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. That the essence of all the code books is I'm not trying to get people into the Word of God. I'm trying to get the Word of God into the people. And so those 52 verses, and another forgotten discipline in Christian life is scripture memory. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a young believer, we used to memorize scripture all the time. I know people who love Jesus, love the Word of God, but hadn't memorized another verse in 20 years. And so you take one verse a year in the Joshua Code, you memorize it, it's got Bible study material helps for you in it. And in 1 year, you've memorized 52 verses, the whole theme of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then we concluded that, we followed that up with, it took off. Sold several hundred thousand copies, surprisingly, without any advertising or anything, hardly. And when I started, Jeff, as you mentioned, I promised God that all the royalties to all those code books would go to Mission Dignity, our old retired pastors and widows living at the poverty level and don't have anything. And now they've actually sold over 3 million copies. Mm. And Jeff, I hope, if I'd have known they were going to sell millions of copies, that I would have been as benevolent in that promise to God as I was when I started. But I know that's one of the reasons he's blessed them. So they've just had a whole series of them. I won't take a lot of time talking about them, but the Jesus Code, 52 scripture questions every believer should answer. There are 52 questions asked in the Bible. I'm convinced every believer ought to be able to answer before they go to heaven. And then, of course, we had the Bible Code, finding Jesus in every book of the Bible, the Prayer Code, 40 Bible prayers every believer should pray, the Promise Code, 40 Bible promises every believer should claim. We have the Spirit Code, 40 Bible truths about the Holy Spirit every believer should know. And anyway, there are 15 of them in the series. And so in our new book, Just Jesus, it's a little bit different. It's a 365-day devotional, mm-hmm. a reading for every day. And we took nuggets from all these code books and placed them in there. And Jeff, just to say one other thing, that verse you read to begin this program with Mary and Martha, there's an interesting nugget. One of the devotionals in this book comes from that. It actually comes from where that verse where it says when she asked Jesus to tell, she said to Jesus, "Tell her to come in here and help me." Mm-hmm. You know, the other time that word help is Greek word is translated in the New Testament. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 there, where it says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Mm-hmm. The same way that Mary went in there and got a dish rag, picked up a pan, started stirring the soup, whatever she's doing, helping. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us in our prayer life, and he helps us. We don't know what to pray as we should, so he always prays according to the will of God. So there's just a lot of nuggets from all the code books that are found in Just Jesus.
O.S., when you write a book, I know for me, I have a terrible time editing the book because I rewrite every time I try and proof it. I rewrite the paragraph. You know, it's just it becomes endless. And do you find yourself saying, "Oh, that was really good," or "I don't really like that," or do you have some books you say, "Well, that's my favorite. I'm not so crazy about how I worded this." How do you look at that?
Yeah, 100%, Jeff. I feel that way. You know. A lot of my friends, they have teams of writers that help them, and they edit and they do this and bring them. I've never had a research assistant. I've never had anybody help me. Every word of every book that I've written came off my fingers on this iPad. I'm talking to you on this Zoom call right now, or an iPad similar to it. And yeah, then I get it, and then I'll go back over it, and I'll read it and read it and read it and redo it and redo it. But yeah, I would say, if you ask me, this sounds self-serving, and I certainly don't mean it to be, but you ask, if you'd ask me what my best attempt at writing was, I would say it was the biography I did on W.A. Crystal, His Life and Times. So there's just an incredible amount of research in there, and it reads like a novel, and it tells a story of one who I believe is one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, if not the greatest.
Let me, okay, since you brought this up, O.S., I've struggled with this as it relates to W.A. Criswell. You know, it says in 1 Peter 3 that husbands live with your wives in an understanding way as with the weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. And I've preached, to the guys, hey, guys, we're going to hurt our relationship with God if we don't treat our wives right. It was, I don't think, a big secret that he and his wife didn't have a great marriage. How do you reconcile in your own mind God's grace and power and favor upon W.A. Criswell when that part of his life wasn't really exemplary?
Jeff, I'm going to give you credit for one thing. You love to jump in where angels fear to tread. But, you know, I deal with that relationship all through that biography. And she was a powerful woman, and she was winsome in so many ways. She had a tremendous following. And our times of ministry there, she was great to Susie, and she was great to me, so we don't have any issues with her. Let me just go back, if we want to talk about that for a second. He was at Southern Seminary back in the 30s, got a PhD, and he realized that a church wasn't going to call him unless he was married. And Betty, his wife, was the pianist at his seminary church at Mount Washington and Kentucky, and they did fall in love, and you know, he does say some wonderful, sweet things about her. It was just an unusual relationship that was a tense relationship at times. I don't have any doubt that they both didn't love one another. They did, but Betty was just a different sort of a lady, and I think in one way, it drove him. I'll tell you what he did, you know. It drove him into his study in the mornings. He would hibernate in his study for hours every morning. And that's where a lot of the greatness came from. So I really don't know how to answer your question other than what I've dealt with it in great detail in the book.
Yeah. Well, it's I think for a younger guy coming up, because we know how important it is to, and the Bible makes that clear. Hey, don't hire a guy if he doesn't manage his household well, and,
right.
And the way we are with our wives and our children, that should be what personnel committees really look at, among other things, but definitely look at that. It seems to me, OS, that maybe back a generation ago, that might not have been dealt with as much as it is today, but it's important for us as pastors to make sure that we're doing a good job at home. That's our primary.
Yeah, God instituted home long before he did the church. It's the laboratory of life. It's where we're supposed to present the picture of Jesus. And so I totally agree with you 100%.
Well, we're talking to Dr. O.S. Hawkins, and the brand new book is called Just Jesus, a 365 Daily Devotional. And this book is designed to encourage you, to challenge you, to start your day off with the Lord. As we read from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus said to Martha, not in a scolding way, but in an encouraging way, in a loving way, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things matter, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And Mary had chosen to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His word. And you and I can make that choice also. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to Dr. O.S. Hawkins. And we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking to Dr. O.S. Hawkins about his brand new book, Just Jesus, a 365-day devotional designed to help encourage believers and challenge believers in the Word of God and lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Okay, so OS, let me ask you, you began preaching your first sermon. You were how old?
I was saved, Jeff, when I was 17. Didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books of the Bible. And just immersed myself in the Word of God. Started, I was a senior in high school. Went to TCU as a pre-law student, and the summer before my senior year there, God called me to preach. So June 24th, 1968, preached my first sermon at the Union Gospel Mission in Fort Worth.
All right, so who were your heroes as a young guy learning how to preach?
Well, for number one was W.A. Criswell, mm-hmm. and my pastor, Fred Swank, who pastored Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth for 43 years, had over 100 young people like me go into gospel ministry. Jack Graham and I, for example, were ordained together the same night as teenagers. We had 100 of us go into ministry from that one church. So Fred Swank was a tremendous influence upon my life. And then when I got to seminary, many of my seminary professors, but I would say that the primary influence of my preaching life was W.A. Criswell. I got to know him early on. Mm-hmm. As a young man, and he had no peer. If W.A. Criswell had gone into law, he'd have been a Supreme Court justice. If he'd have gone into politics, he'd have been a senator, probably president. If he'd have gone into business, he'd have built a Fortune 500 company. He could talk on any subject. He was brilliant. He read Greek and Hebrew till the day he died, and he was just the single most amazing man I've ever seen, firmly rooted, grounded in the Word of God. So he was a great influence upon me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I was pastor there, Charles Ryrie, who wrote the famous Ryrie Study Bible, Charles was a professor, had been a professor at DTS in years past, and Charles was in the church every Sunday. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, one of the best churchmen I've ever known, had a great influence upon me. I used to eat lunch with him once every 2 or 3 weeks. I never asked Charles Ryrie a question, a biblical question, that he didn't immediately have some kind of a analytical answer that he came back with. He was brilliant. So I've had a lot of people that really helped form and fashion my life. For that, I'm grateful. And then my best buddy, Jack Graham, we've been accountability partners for 60 years since we've mm-hmm. known each other.
OS, how have you seen, from your perspective, when you first started pastoring, how have you seen things change in the church as far as biblical literacy goes, as far as holiness goes, and the impact the church was making some decades ago versus what it's doing now?
Yeah, well, Jeff, we all look at life through some kind of a lens. You know, right now I have old contact lens I'm looking through. I could have old glasses, but we all look at life through some kind of a lens. Now the tension comes where we're either going to do one or two things. We're going to view the Bible through the lens of culture, which many people do today, or we're going to view culture through the lens of the Bible. And I think if there's one subtle difference in the last 50 years, I think there was a lot more viewing culture through the lens of Scripture years ago than there is today. I think a lot of people fall into the trap of trying to make the gospel so palatable that they view the Bible through the lens of culture. And anytime you hear somebody say, well, the Bible says such and such, but just know that after that but, it isn't true.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
But at the same time, I'm seeing some of the greatest evangelistic soul winning churches I'm preaching in now that I've seen in my life.
OS, what do you think? You know, there a lot's been said about the seeker sensitive movement that came out in the 80s, 90s.
Right.
And we saw churches grow like crazy, and a lot of people were really attracted to Rick Warren and Saddleback, and maybe we need to do church like that. I saw a clip the other day from John MacArthur, and he was, I guess this was probably 10 years before he died, but he was just saying the church can't court the world. Because if you do that and you make yourself friendly to the world, they will just take you down, 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 down. And I know that, I was caught up in that. I was a young guy and, man, let's do church like Rick Warren. His church is growing like crazy. But he was really wanting to, give the church what do the people
what they
want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you catch people with the circus, there's a bigger circus going to come to town sometime. You got to keep them the way you get them. And I never really had an affinity for the seeker-friendly model because I thought it was in direct opposition to what the Bible said. The Bible says there are none that seek after God. And we're not the seeker. God is the seeker. He said, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. So God is the one that's doing the seeking. It's not, the lost world's not seeking after God, let's be honest. If they were, churches would be filled.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, back to the book, Just Jesus. If somebody said they're listening today and they say to themselves, that would just be another devotional. Why should I get that one? What would you say?
Yeah, I think it's different in many ways because of the spiritual nuggets that are found. I'll give you an example. A lot of it is filled with obscure verses people have never even thought about. For example, there's an obscure verse in Hosea chapter 14, verse 5, where God says, I will be like the dew to my people. What a promise. God says, listen, I'm going to be like the dew to my people, D-E-W, dew.
Right.
Well, what in the world does that mean? For example, where does dew come from? You walk out in the yard in the morning and there's dew all over the grass and everything. Where does dew come from? Does dew fall or does dew rise? And the answer is neither. It just shows up when certain conditions are right. When certain atmospheric conditions are right, condensation, it just appears. Now, God said, here's his promise, I will be like the dew to my people. We pray, oh God, fall on us. Oh God, rise up to me. No, he just shows up when certain conditions are right in our lives, like dew. We get right with each other. We get reconciled with our wives. We get right with God, he will show up in mighty great power. So it's filled with little anecdotes like that. I took the title Just Jesus because what I want people to understand is when you come away from it, I want you to realize that when everything is said and done and everything's boiled down, all the theological truth, everything we're seeking and searching for, it comes down to one thing. It's just Jesus. You take the Mount of Transfiguration. We can talk about whether it was Mount Hermon or whether it was Tabor or where it was, but the truth is, in Matthew 17, Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. In other words, he appeared in his glorified body, and his face shone like the sun. And it says that there appeared along with him in their eyes, they saw him, Moses and Elijah. And then the Bible says in Matthew 17, when the cloud lifted, it says Peter, James, and John, it says they saw no one except Jesus only. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jeff, we live in a world today where some people see Moses only, the law. I mean, it's everything about dotting this I and mm-hmm. crossing that T and living by legalism and the law. Some people see Elijah only, the prophet, and future prophecies of second coming. Some people are so excited about second coming, they forget to appropriate all the first coming means. Mm-hmm. It's better to see Moses and Elijah in Christ than to see him with Christ. And so that's why when the cloud lifted, they saw no one except Jesus only. Mm. So it's just Jesus that boils down to in our lives.
Amen. That's really good. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
As you write this book, and as you wrote this book, OS, what were there certain things that really captivated your heart that you said, you know, as you really got into it, that you said, you know, I've never understood it quite like this before, or there was a nugget that really the Lord laid upon your heart that you maybe had a fresh understanding of?
Yeah. For example, we were talking about biblical literacy for just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I was preaching through Romans 8 when I was pastor of First Baptist Dallas at a certain time. And we came to verse 28, that mountain peak of scripture that all of us have climbed up on for hope and help. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, 28. So I sent the staff out to the parking garages and parking lots and everything as people were gathering for Bible study and church that morning. The morning before, and I asked them to quote, I asked our people to just go up to somebody and say, would you quote Romans 8:28? We're doing a little survey. Do you know Romans 8:28? And so they came back. We collated it all that week. And the First Baptist Dallas, the most biblically literate church I know, Jeff, they heard W.A. Criswell for 50 years. They had Charles Ryrie there. They had Gene Merrill, the leading Semitic language expert in the world from DTS. There are a lot of those professors and teaching, and it was the most biblically literate church I've ever seen. But 90% of the people that quoted that verse, here's what they said. Oh, I know that verse. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. So 90% of them quoted it that way and missed it. They misquoted it because they left off the first phrase, which is the secret to it all. It says, for we know. It's a family secret in the family of God. Mm-hmm. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. The lost world doesn't know that, mm-hmm. but we do. And so that's another little nugget in there. It helps us to understand that this is a family secret in the family of God. It's confidential. We know. And if some of our hearers don't believe that, then I'd challenge you to just go to the city hospital this Friday night when people are coming in there with knifings and gunshot wounds and car wrecks and horrible things happening to them. And they're in there hanging by life and death in the emergency room, and their family or friends are sitting out in the waiting room, tense and wringing their hands. Go sit down by one of their family members out there and say, listen, I just came by today to tell you all things are working together for good. Well, you'll be in the emergency room yourself in 5 minutes because the lost world, they don't get that. They don't understand it. But we know that all it's confidential, it's constructive, things work together for good. Translates that word synergos, with synergy, we get at work. It's comprehensive. It'd be easier for us to understand if it said many things work together for good, or most things work together for good, or some things work together for good. But it says all things mm-hmm. work together for good when woven together in the tapestry of the cross to those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. So they're just all sorts of little nuggets that are found like that. You know, for example, I love that passage in Micah in chapter 6 when he asks a question. Mm-hmm. what does the Lord require of you? Yeah, and I think about that. You know, there's not a lot of things required of us. I mean, April 15th will come around. We're all required to pay our taxes.
Yeah.
But what does the Lord require of us? And he said three things. He said, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis is on those verbs. He said, do justice. Not love justice, but not make the wrongs right, not help people make wrongs right, but do it. Do justice. In other words, he said, keep your hands busy. Do justice. Then the second thing he said, keep your heart broken. Love mercy. He didn't say be merciful. He said love mercy. Mm-hmm. Love being merciful. I read in my Bible reading this morning, if we're going to show mercy, if we're going to receive mercy, we've got to show mercy. He said to love mercy. And I always thought, Jeff, when I was raising our daughters, that if I'm going to make a mistake, I want to make it on the side of mercy, not on the side of judgment. Mm-hmm. So we're to keep our hands busy, do justice. We're to keep our hearts broken, love mercy, and we're to keep our heads bowed, walk humbly with our mm-hmm. God. You know, the devotional in Just Jesus, the devotional that comes tomorrow on November 7th, for example, tells the story of the publican and the tax collector. He that exalts himself will be humble, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. So mm-hmm. walk humbly with your God.
Amen to that. Well, OS, where can people get the book?
Thank you for asking that. It's available everywhere. I understand it's in Hobby Lobby also, but it's on Amazon. Anywhere you buy books, you can get them. If you want to know more about all the Code series and Just Jesus, you can go to oshawkins.com. And incidentally, also, Jeff, there are hundreds of free ministry and devotional resources on that, plus some free book downloads, plus information of where to get all the Code books and Just Jesus. And that can be found at oshawkins.com.
Amen to that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Dr. O.S. Hawkins about his brand new book, Just Jesus, a 365-day devotional designed to encourage you in the Lord. Somebody that needs to be encouraged in the Lord, O.S., and for Christians to be praying for is President Donald Trump, an amazing person, probably the greatest lightning rod person, definitely in politics, that we've ever seen. You had told me you just got to spend some time with him. Tell us a little bit about him and how he's handling things. And he seems to be a lot more at peace with his presidency this go round than last time.
Yeah, I'm not in an inner circle there for sure, but I'm I'm sure he's not as much at peace as he was before these last elections here in New York and
right.
in New Jersey and Virginia. But I was up a couple of months ago, actually went for a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I've been very active in Israel, been there two or three times this year, you know, been there for 50 years. We started going in 75. And I think I've been there every year except the COVID year when I couldn't go. And I have a lot of friends in Israel, and we're really strong supporters of the state of Israel. So Prime Minister Netanyahu was here in the States a couple of months ago, and he had a reception for a few evangelicals up in Washington, D.C., a small group. So my two friends, Jack Graham at Preston Wood and Robert Jeffress, my successor at First Baptist Dallas, and I, the three of us went up to go to the Netanyahu reception. And while we were there, we got a call from Susie Wiles, who's the chief of staff of the president. And her dad was Pat Summerall, the famous right. sportscaster. And Pat was a member of Preston Wood. Jack and I preached Pat's funeral. Pat wanted to be baptized in the Jordan before he died. 6 months before he died, Susie and my wife and I took he and his wife to Israel, and I baptized Pat in the Jordan River over there. So we were dear, dear, dear friends. So Susie had heard we were going to be in Washington. She said, would you like to come by and say hello to the president for 5 minutes? Well, Robert Jeffers has a long-time relationship with the president. Robert's one of the few people I know that I've been with, and his mobile phone will ring, and it'll be President Trump. But so the three of us went into the Oval Office, and we're going to just say hello to him for 5 minutes. And it ended up being an hour and 10-minute conversation, which was really an interesting time. We talked about a lot of the issues that were taking place and a lot of things that were going on. Talked a lot about golf. He wanted to talk about golf. I don't know where he gets the energy he does at his age, but man, he just goes at it constantly. And he was bright. He was engaged. It was a great time.
You know, OS, what puzzles me about Donald Trump is he likes Christians. He no doubt has heard the gospel a lot from guys like Jack and Robert and Franklin.
Well, he's heard it from Franklin for sure. I would say Franklin is the most faithful in not being intimidated by anybody and being bold in their witness of the gospel. So I know for sure that Franklin has shared Christ with him personally on many occasions.
Do you think there's just a because Trump is a smart guy? Do you think there's just a disconnect between his mind and his heart, because the things that he has verbalized doesn't make you think that he understands grace at all?
No, I don't know enough about him, and have spent enough time with him or been in a private in an intimate setting where we could really do that I know how to answer that question. But I certainly, some of the things he said recently, you just never know what he's saying or why he's saying it. But it doesn't somebody that, you know, I don't know, you know, the Bible says, let's be honest, knowing Christ, being saved, being born again is like going from darkness into light.
Right.
It's like going from death unto life. I don't know how you can go from a dark room into a light room and not know it. I don't know how you can go from death unto life and not know it. I don't know how the creator of this universe could have come and taken up residency in you and you not know it. Your spirit bear witness with the spirit of God. So, you know, thank God he didn't put me on the election committee. He put me on the nominating committee. So I just try to nominate people to him and pray for them. I don't know. I do know that he has a deep respect for those of us in the evangelical world. And it manifests itself in many ways. And just recently, in his strong statements relating what's going on in Nigeria, for example, right now. So, a lot of people have had influence on him. I don't think anybody has had influence on him like Franklin Graham. If you notice, every once in a while, if he's in Franklin's presence and he'll say some off-color word or something, he'll apologize to Franklin publicly there.
Oh, wow.
In doing it. So he's got that deal there. So I don't know. I just don't know how to answer that question, Jeff, other than to pray. You know, and that doesn't matter whether it's Trump or who's in the White House. We have the admonition in the New Testament to pray for those who are rulers over us. And I want to tell you, we better start praying, because if anybody that doesn't think we're seeing some subtle, not even subtle anymore, rise of Islamic extremism in this country is blind to what's taking place right now.
OS, with your love of Israel, have you been surprised at how there are conservative voices that are really wanting the U.S. to distance themselves or ourselves from supporting Israel? Tucker Carlson is one, and Candace Owens. I mean, I don't know what to make of her, but others like that, even Christian pastors that want a distance from Israel.
Right. Well, replacement theology. Now, that for Tucker Carlson and who else did you mention?
Candace Owens.
Oh God, Candace Owens. I don't know. I can't explain the craziness that's going on in that world with them right now. I mean, it's inexplainable how they can be saying some of the things they're saying and associating with some of the people they're associating with. But on the other hand, on the theological perspective of it, replacement theology, this idea of supersessionism, this idea that all the promises God made to Israel are now belong to the church, and that Israel is no different than Venezuela or Ecuador or Italy or any other country in God's eyes. In fact, I'm writing a new book right now on why evangelicals support Israel, and it's totally biblically based. I mean, God promised them this was for an everlasting possession, that land. And there are just so many biblical arguments toward this. But that, and then the other thing that's just happened in New York, I don't know if you saw how the 19 to 29 year olds, how their educational, I mean, how their vote went in that New York election. It was like 80% of the females in that age group voted for this Islamist that is now mayor of New York. Well, what a reflection of our public school education. This is what these people have been being indoctrinated in. And so much, not all, but in so much of public education in the world, it's not a whole lot different than what goes on in those Palestinian classrooms when they're just so indoctrinated as young people. No wonder they grow up with such hatred.
Right.
And things toward the people of Israel. So it's a very complicated and complex and serious condition we're in America. It's never a time more for believers to stand up and pray. And, you know, there's only one city in the Bible that God says we're to pray for, and that's Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I'm just going to stake my life with what the Word says about that.
Amen to that. Well, we have Jim on the line from New Jersey. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. I had a question. You all alluded to it early in the program. But according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, would Dr. Criswell actually be qualified to be a pastor according to 1 Timothy 3?
Okay. Good question, Jim. I don't know if well, I would want to.
Well, how do I don't? I'm not well, understanding I think, what he's saying.
Jim, not to put words in your mouth, but are you saying because it says he's one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity? Is that what you're driving at?
Yes, and his wife, as you alluded to it earlier in the program.
Yeah. So my struggle, OS, was with the 1 Peter 3, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, you got to have.
Right.
And it takes two to tango. I mean, if your wife is not wanting to be in fellowship with you, you're in trouble. But he's saying from the standpoint of how his household was run, and would that disqualify him?
Right. Well, obviously it didn't disqualify him, because God blessed his ministry like no one I've ever seen in my life. And incidentally, for anybody who wants to know anything about him, to really know about him, there is a website, wacriswell.com, where 4,000 of his messages and video audio and all of those things are out there like that. I'm going to leave that with the Lord. And yeah. It's just one little isolated thing you can pick out and over a comprehensive thing that's related to it. And I think truth of the matter is, we all have ways to go in certain areas for sure. Like that.
For sure. Well, Jim, I appreciate the call, and it was a good question. OS, as far as preachers go, as you think about people from the past, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, do you think that W.A. Criswell was kind of cut from that same cloth, like a Spurgeon?
Well, Spurgeon was one of his idols. I definitely think that W.A. Criswell was the Spurgeon of the 20th century. And there's so many parallels: Spurgeon in the downgrade controversy over there in England, and Criswell and the conservative resurgence here. He was the titular leader of turning a whole denomination. And that's still not what it ought to be, but at least in all of our seminaries, there's not a seminary professor in any one of our schools that doesn't believe in inerrancy and in all sufficiency of the Word of God. So I think Criswell led the way in that. His book that he wrote in 1970 called Why I Preach the Bible is Literally True, mm-hmm. made an indelible impact on my generation when we read that as young preachers.
Yeah. Just in the couple minutes we have left, OS, so tell us about Mission Dignity and why you chose them to give all the royalties from your books to Mission Dignity.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, so much for asking that. And incidentally, if you want to know more about Mission Dignity, you can go to my website, oshawkins.com, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see it, and information, you can get a click on that and you'll get it. Mission, we're on a mission to bring dignity to some forgotten people. And that's retired pastors and their widows. Jeff, they pastor out in the highways and hedges. They never had a radio program like you. They never wrote a book like me. They were never on television. They never had their name in the paper, but they were so faithful where God called them, where God put them. And they served the Lord with such faithfulness, never made enough to live on, much less retire on. Then they get to their retiring years, and they, most of them lived in a church-owned home, had to get out of it. And so there they were in their declining years at the poverty level. And years ago, we could give them $50, $75 a month. That helped them. Now, because we've been able to sell so many millions of copies of the Code series and Just Jesus, that and we've raised so much money that the neediest among them get $700, $800 a month, plus expense grants. If their dentures break, we get them new dentures. If their tires are gone on the car, we get their stove breaks, we get that. We meet all these expense grants for them. And so it's one of the few ministries, Jeff, where we also endowed all the expenses to it. So everybody works in the Mission Dignity office. Every stamp that goes on an envelope, that some people still get checks because mm-hmm. that's the way they want to get them. Every stamp, everything is already paid for out of this endowment, so that every single dime somebody gives to Mission Dignity goes straight to one of those people in need. I don't know if many ministries can say that. And so that's why every time you purchase one of these code books, they're all beautiful gift edition books. You can see them at oshawkins.com. Anytime you purchase one, all the royalties go to support those precious people. And I often say, years ago, my heart was broken with the letter I got from an 87-year-old widow of a pastor. And 65% of the people in the program are widows of pastors. Mm-hmm. She wrote me and she said, she was thanking me for the gift. And she said, you know, I get to eat at night now, and it's not just Amen. A piece of toast.
Amen. Well, we've been talking to Dr. O.S. Hawkins. Thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for America. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.